The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-star race car bodies. 5-star race car bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-star race bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA late model series. Find out more today. 5starbodies.com.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to go The Brakeman. On the web at thebrakeman.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA.
Yes, that's right, and it is the ASA Fast Lane, the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane. We'd like to thank the O'Reilly Auto Parts stores for helping make this broadcast possible. Terry Wall and myself, Jack Smith. We have two interviews tonight. We have going to talk to John Sapricone, who's the owner of DeSoto Super Speedway, which is where the ASA Late Model Series Southern Division race will go down this weekend on October the 6th. And it's an exciting place. It's an exciting racetrack. And after this weekend, you'll hear that. We are sure of that. Now, we're also going to talk to Charlie Menard, who won the final ASA Challenge Division points race of the year at Five Flags Speedway in Pensacola, Florida, last weekend. We're going to spend some time with Charlie Menard. And then you're going to hear from one of the old veterans of the old ASA.
This is O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane.
Power Master is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
This is O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane.
Now we want to introduce somebody that won the race at Pensacola to the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, Charlie Menard. Charlie, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And we caught Charlie at another racetrack. Can you imagine, Jack?
What?
We can't keep these guys away from the racetrack, can we?
Where are you at, Charlie?
Well, that's what we do. You know, we're down here at La Crosse Speedway here in Wisconsin at Oktoberfest weekend, and tonight's first night of racing, and we have a car in the Big 8 race. A car that I own is competing, and up there on the board right now, fourth in on the qualifying with about 10 more cars to go, so good qualifying run.
All right, so you're...
Who's driving the car for you, Charlie?
Andy Burgess. He runs weekly down here at La Crosse. So,
Andy Burgess.
He's been a pretty good shooter this week here.
Yeah.
So you took the checker flag down at Five Flag Speedway. That's a pretty tough place to get around, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I've been down there. I think this was our fourth time down there. Went down there for a couple of derbies and had some mild success and some huge failures. So I'd like to think that we learned some stuff from those events and applied them to what we did Saturday night and end up having a real good car. And I knew what feel we needed in practice, and we got to that. And I was real happy with how that went. And then it turned into a good race car for the race.
So does it feel like you got a hot hand going into the final race in the Northern Division?
Yeah, you know, I don't think that we have a distinct advantage over, those fellows. You know, there's going to be a lot of good cars here. La Crosse is our home track, but I haven't raced here since last Oktoberfest. So, you know, I think we'll have a solid race car. We, have been, putting a lot of time and effort and prayer in it to make sure it runs well. And I think we'll have a good weekend, and we'll kind of let the, we'll see how it plays out.
Go ahead, Terry.
Now, I've been wanting to ask you this question ever since I knew we were going to interview you, Charlie. Now, you're part of the famous Menard family.
Yep.
And are you the oldest of the boys?
Actually, my relation to Paul, he's my cousin.
Oh, he's your cousin. Okay.
And I am older than Paul. I'm probably about, I think Paul's mid-20s, like 26, 27. So I'm like 7 years older than Paul. And we grew up racing together, though. And I like to think that I mentored him for at least some of his racing career through the go-karts and legend cars and stuff, and mm-hmm. and he helped him get to where he is today.
So John is your uncle.
Yep, John's my uncle.
Do y'all have a pretty competitive deal going between all of you and the family members?
He just wants us all to do well and see us succeed in whatever chosen professions and what we do. So he's very, very driven, very competitive, but not amongst us, no.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, because I'm real, I know the Rudemans fairly well, and it's that they have a family like that, too. Everybody in the family going back forever has been racers, and they have so much fun together. I imagine you guys have the same sort of deal.
Yeah, we all get together for four-wheeling or snowmobiling or something like that. It usually gets pretty ugly, but that's when there's no rules and no black flags. So it's a whole different set. But we're a pretty tight family. Obviously, with family business holding us together, we get together quite often talking about the business. And I work at the business, and so it's the thing that binds us all and keeps us all focused on what our job is, first to be successful in the business, then we can go have fun.
Now, you're real close in points on the Challenge Series and actually the Northern Series in the last races coming up. I'm thinking that you possibly could win the championship in the Northern Series.
Yeah, I think we're 30-some points back behind Schneider, and then Cozzolino is in there between us. And, no one seems to want to keep the lead of that series. I was in the lead for a race or two, and Cozzolino was, and Trent Schneider was, and Trent just has to be the guy with the hot potato right now. So whoever has a good night on Saturday night will win the championship amongst us three. I'm definitely the third place guy and the third horse in a three-horse race. So we're going to need some luck from the racing gods and a good car Saturday night to get us in a position to win it. But it's just like any other race. I don't really points race, and we haven't approached the season that way, and we just go out there and try to win every race we can, and where the points fall out, they do. We'd love to win the championship. If it doesn't happen, it's not because we didn't try.
Now, what's your plans for next year, Charlie, now that this season's winding down? Do you have any other plans next year to run anything other than the ASA, maybe some bush races or anything, or ARCA?
No, nothing right now. I'm getting married in 2 weeks. And I'm actually looking, probably slow down a little bit from racing.
I was going to say, game over.
Yeah, I've had a good career here racing and a lot of fun, but I'm getting to be in my mid-30s, and now that's not old, that's not young anymore for this racing gig. And like I said, I'm getting married and want to get a family started. So looking to maybe not race quite every weekend like we did this summer, maybe get a development deal going with a young driver, got a lot of options right now, and just kind of what, you know, Chad and I decided. Crew Chief Chad obviously has a big influence over all that.
Right.
Charlie, what is it about – you're from Wisconsin, right?
Yep.
What is it about Wisconsin and stock car racing, especially short track racing? I mean, it's just – it's amazing.
Yeah. There's so many tracks here, I think, part of it. I mean, I'm from Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and even from Eau Claire, we don't have a local track. We got a little dirt track down the road, but, you know, asphalt track – I mean, there's La Crosse, Marshfield, Wausau, Madison, Jefferson, you know, they go on and on. That's just kind of in my area. I mean, there's probably a dozen asphalt tracks here, and I think that the fans support asphalt racing here quite a bit, and it gives a lot of avenues for young racers to go out and race, you know, up through the hobby stock, super stock, and sportsmen and whatnot, and a lot of cultivation of talent. You know, Iowa has, like, two paved tracks, and we have a dozen. It's pretty easy to see why there's a lot more asphalt guys coming out of Wisconsin. It's just something that has been big here. And I, you know, growing up, I didn't even realize how big asphalt, you know, oval track racing was. And once I got into it, I'm amazed at the fan following here. I mean, it's what everybody does in Wisconsin, it seems like. It's football and the Packers and short track racing.
Well, we won't talk about the Packers. I'm a Bears fan, so.
But, I'm sorry for that.
I grew up with watching people in Wisconsin, Dick Trickle and Tom Reffner and some of them guys that came out of Wisconsin. The guy who owned the left-hander too. I don't know if you remember the Schulers, Larry Schuler, Tracy Schuler, Lee Schuler.
Sure.
But I crewed with them for 7 years while they were racing against those guys.
Yeah, exactly.
And the tradition of Wisconsin racers is carried over to Travis Quaffle and some of the other guys from Travis Nassau in the ASA.
Yeah,
has carried over from some of the older guys, and it's been that way for years.
It is amazing. It really is amazing, the list of talent that comes out of there.
Well, you know, tonight Ross Kenseth, you know, Matt's son, is racing here in the Big 8 race. Actually, Matt is right next door to us here in the next hall over. They run a Pathfinder chassis as well, so they're racing here tonight. So, I mean, to have a Nextel Cup star here at the La Crosse Speedway, I mean, that brings out the fans, and Ross is, I think, 14 or 15 years old and racing. I mean, it just cultivates the racing here and just keeps on going and going. So, racing, you know, it's, if you're from Wisconsin, you get a lot of respect on these big circuits, so. Kind of need to be from Wisconsin and be part of all that.
So, give us your take on this this whole ASA deal. I mean, it seems like this is one of the, you know, of course we really follow the South probably a little closer than the North, but I mean we keep up with it all, and I'll tell you, it just the talent is unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, I think one, it's got a good name for itself, and. You know, Ron has put together a series that a lot of young guys can get into and for relatively inexpensive dollars, go out there and if you have talent, you can do well. And if, you know, that along with the formula they have to the crate motors and getting these young kids on radial tires in the Challenge Series and whatnot, you know, it makes it very attractive for these other own team owners and stuff to go out there and sign up for these young kids. And Ron does a good job getting it all put together. He's got the name that helps a lot, and put together a good series because of that.
So you're looking for a development driver for the ASA next year? I almost called you Paul.
Certainly possible, yeah. Yes, we're sure talking that way, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
that's cool. This year, was there big differences this year? Was there a lot more young kids? Was there... What were the major differences in 2007 over last year?
Well, you know, a little bit of difference was the series I chose. You know, we last year we only raced one or two North races. This year we raced all the North races. The North races seem to have a little bit of maybe a little bit of younger talent or a little bit different talent. So we got into maybe a little bit different how those fellows raced. That was a change for us, but I think that was probably consistent with what it was last year. I'm 34, like I said, and instead of Daddy Hoffman, I'm the oldest guy there, and that's kind of scary, and there's kids, you know, half my age out there racing against me, and while, we race real good against them. You know, it certainly is. I certainly wish I had the opportunities that these 16- and 17-year-olds do, because I think they're learning a lot real early in their career, and, you know, certainly going to help them as they try to have a career in auto racing.
Yeah, I would do it.
Are you going to run any of the ASA next year, or are you pretty much going to be like a team owner, team manager, crew chief, something like that for a
development driver? I haven't, you know, chosen what we're going to do yet. We are going to wait for the schedule to come out. I can't see not racing at all. I mean, I think I'd have a nervous breakdown or something like that. You know? This is the point of the season where you're glad that you're almost done with the year, but you know, by about, you know, I don't know, December, you start itching pretty bad, and I'll be figuring out how to get my butt in a race car. But, not full time for sure, but I'm kind of playing by ear. You know, we got to get through night this weekend and get married, and then we can have some serious talks, my bride to be and myself.
Yeah, you got a lot going on here, man.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
About it.
It's got to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, though. I got to have a young racer put in the car, so I got to get started on that.
All right, good deal. Go ahead, Terry.
No, I just was wondering that if you do put a young driver in your car, Charlie, what will you be your role in the team?
Well, you know, I definitely act as a team owner and you know, hopefully a mentor to somebody that is looking for, that has the natural talent or the raw ability, but maybe not the polish or
right.
needs to do that. To myself and obviously Chad Wood, being a former driver and proven to be a very, very good crew chief, I think that Chad can teach him a lot of things about racing. I think teach him a lot about car setups and things like that. And I can teach him probably hopefully the business side of racing, you know, how the sponsorship works, why we got to do things the way we do it to get all the bills paid and you know, mold somebody into somebody that can be successful in higher ranks of racing.
Charlie, right. What is the difference? I mean, what given equal dollars and equipment, what is it that separates the winners from the guys who just can't get it done?
Probably a couple things. I mean, one is, you know, preparation and what I've found with Chad is, my old crew chief, we were together for probably, you know, 7 years, 8 years, and up till, you know, we could kind of, you know, look at each other and grunt and just kind of smirk, and he'd know what to do with the car. And you know, I had to start over with Chad, and we struggled a little bit at the beginning of the year because of that. And it's communication. It's huge. If you're not committed to this and you're not able to communicate what you need the car to do with your crew chief, you're never going to get it done. And you might hit it once in a while, but to be consistently good, you got to have a awesome relationship with your crew chief. I think that's the biggest thing. I think you see it time and time again with these, you know, every level of racing. If you can communicate to him or her what the car is doing and what it needs, you know, you're going to be successful. And if you can't get that done, it's really hard to do. Really hard.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Gordon Everham and all that kind of deal, I guess, where they really get along and communicate.
If you make it click, it sure does help.
Yeah. The chemistry like Gordon and Everham comes along not very often. And if you can find a chemistry like they had, or like
Jimmy Johnson and Chad Canales, you know, I'm not a big Lowe's fan, obviously, of those guys, but, you know, those two have a chemistry that just clicks together.
Yep.
You know, and it's something that a young driver needs to understand is hollering at your crew and hollering at your crew chief ain't going to get it done. You know, it's everybody's in it and everybody wants to do well, and how you communicate what you need to get done is what's going to get it done.
Yeah, absolutely.
We used to race against John, Chad's dad.
Yeah.
In a national short track championship at Rockford in 1977, the year Mark Martin won it.
Yeah.
I was there with the Schulers.
Cool.
And Chad was just a little snot-nosed kid getting in everybody's way, you know.
Yep.
And John, his dad, ran the number 98 car.
Yeah.
Won several championships at Rockford. And who would have thunk that Chad would move on to be where he is now?
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And you were 34 in 1977. You were a snot-nosed kid about that time, too.
You got I was about 3 years old, exactly.
it's great to see a local guy succeed, you know, Travis Quaffle. I think he's going to be very successful in the Robert Yates car if they put the equipment under him. The problem with the Robert Yates team is that their equipment is not up to snuff.
Yeah, but you know, Roush is, I kind of inside track. Roush is putting a lot of money into that deal. And that's going to be Roush's satellite team. And if Roush does do that, I think that they're going to have a real solid program. I mean, Roush is getting around this only having four cars, but just having eight cars, I think, in the end.
Right.
I mean, they're gonna expand that deal. And
when they made that announcement about only four cars,
yep.
I knew there were going to be ways to get around it.
Yeah, this Doug Yates deal, you kind of see it's coming together. So that's going to happen, and I think Travis will be real successful in that.
I just hope they find a sponsor, because the M&M's is going to the 18 car at Joe Gibbs Racing.
Yeah.
So I don't know where they're going to come up with another sponsor, but I hope they do.
Well, I think Roush's program, they can cultivate sponsorship, and they're pretty good.
Yeah,
at that.
Absolutely. Yeah, with Fenway now, yeah.
Yep.
All right, Charlie.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to thank you, Charlie, for spending this time with us, and we wish you absolutely the best of luck. And I mean, the next few weeks are Terry and I are a little older, you know, and I'll tell you, we know the next 2 weeks are probably the biggest couple of weeks of your life. And go have fun at it, man.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
All right, Charlie, thanks for giving us the time. I'm sorry about the technical difficulties we had when we originally had you scheduled to be on. But it's been a pleasure, and we're really glad to have you on. And I'm sure down the road, as a car owner in Victory Lane, we'll have you on again.
Sounds really good, yeah. Thank you.
Thanks. Charlie Menard, getting ready to rock and roll up in Wisconsin.
Lacrosse, Wisconsin.
All right, Terry, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break here.
Okay.
Talk about now. What's the deal with the race? Port City race cars.
Port City race cars. Yeah, probably my mistake, but I think it was yours. We put the wrong advertising on Karnak, and also Real Racing USA. Real Racing USA, of course, supports all of our radio shows and all of our racing. And Port City Racing and Port City Race Cars is two separate entities, just like Karnak and Real Racing USA. And we put the wrong ad up, so now we're going to send people to their website, Port City Race Cars.
Port City Race Cars. Yeah, we got that straightened out, didn't we?
Yeah, we got it straightened out.
All right, and of course we want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts and the Brake Man and... Port City Race Cars and
Power Master,
absolutely.
And, all the people that support us on Real Racing USA.
Evergreen Development. We'll be right back.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today. 5starbodies.com.
This is O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane.
Okay, we're back with the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane for Wednesday, the October the 4th. And Terry, we have with us...
Actually, it was Wednesday, October 3rd, Jack.
Oh, today's the 3rd? Oh, no, it's Thursday.
Yeah.
It's Thursday tonight. That's right, because we usually do the show on Wednesday. Anyway, it's Thursday, October the 4th. But in any event, we have with us on the line, we have John Sapricone, who is the owner of DeSoto Super Speedway in Bradenton, Florida, which is where the ASA Southern Division is going to come do battle this weekend, and it's a huge, huge weekend at DeSoto Super Speedway. John, welcome to O'Reilly ASA Fastlane.
Hey, thanks, guys. I just want to, you know, tell you guys doing a great job out there, and I hope you're promoting the show with us. And we got a, right now there's about 15 ASA cars in here. This is practice Thursday night, and they're telling me 30, 35 cars. I, you know, between our super late models and these cars, we're looking maybe at 55, 60 cars in the pits just with the supers and the ASA cars.
Yeah, because now you have, this is the C-Fest weekend, I guess, right?
Yeah, this is our annual C-Fest. We usually run twin 125s, and we changed the format last year to limited late models plus the supers. But this year we went to the ASA and our super division.
So the
personally, I don't think you went wrong with the ASA cars, because I'm really a proponent of the ASA cars and their and the crate motors, because the crate motors, I think, is the way to go in certain parts of the country, in certain areas. I know it's not the way to go in everywhere, but well, ASA cars is going to bring you in a lot of people.
We're hoping, you know, the ASA name, you know, shows us a, you know, a great a thing, brings us a lot of, you know, people down here. And, you know, it'd be nice to have a 2,500 people down here this weekend or whatever, Friday and Saturday show. You know, we've had a couple of bad weeks the last 3 weeks, and we had a great Tabara show, Wind Spring Cars, last week. I had about 1,800 people here, and it was a ball.
So now this weekend you have the 125-lap All-American Challenge Series race, the super
right.
late models.
Correct.
And you have 100 laps of green flag. Is 100 lap? Is this a 100 lap ASA race or 125?
Yes, it's 100. It's 100 lap.
Green flag.
Green flag.
Yeah. And the fans are definitely
get their money's worth to come and, you know, coming to see this. I mean, like you know, it's going to be, like I said, a great weekend. We got modifieds running Friday night. We got pure stocks running Saturday night. The Magic Fours are running Saturday night. The Bombers are running both nights. And we're going to put a $300 bonus on the highest finisher and stuff like that. So it's a lot of fun.
Go ahead, Terry.
All right. And John, other than the ASA coming in, how are things going at DeSoto Speedway? Is everything going well as far as car count and fans and and I know there's always controversy. Has it been to a minimum this year?
I'll tell you what, it's pulled back a little bit. As you know, the economy down here, anywhere in the country, it's been really tough. When you got to go spend $4 or $3.50 for a loaf of bread, when you're paying $1.79 for it, and gas is $3 a gallon, it, you know, it's going to hurt people's pockets. And you know, the average working people that comes out to the racetrack or goes to the movies doesn't have that, you know, that extra cash to spend every week.
So, but overall, I mean, I think...
overall, we're doing fine.
Yeah, I think most of the tracks in Florida are doing...
I would say, we're down 10, 15%. But that's, you know, like I said, you know, if you look at the economy out there, you look at the stock market, you look at everything in the housing, the construction, I mean, everything is down, so it's going to hurt. Everything's going to trickle down.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
At least this race won't be as hot as the last time ASA was there. Wasn't it there, Jack, the track was breaking up?
Yep, that was...
That was in 3 and 4, and the track was coming upon.
Right,
I was going to buy the track then, and that whole deal fell through on me when I was, you know, I was going to do that. But otherwise, it's been pretty good, and everything seems to be holding up good. And, you know, we're putting a lot of effort into the racetrack promoting and fixing. We're trying to go over to aluminum grandstands now. We're starting to do a section at a time. So to help everybody along, and you know, we got to do one step at a time. We just can't run before we walk.
I'll tell you, John, these I've been to, I think, five of these four or five ASA races. I get this year's been a spin. But we went up to North Carolina. We've seen them here in Florida. We've seen them in Georgia. And I'll tell you one thing. You never know who's going to win this race until it comes down to the end. I mean, every one of them has been...
exciting, huh?
Yeah. I mean, there's a bit of a caution. There's a lot of cautions. They tend to have a lot of cautions. But, you know, you got a lot of youngsters driving, and the competitive level is very, very high. The cars are all... There's so many cars that are equal. I mean, very, very close in speeds. And it's all about handling and driving, and it should be an exciting. I can't wait to see this whole show at DeSoto Speedway. Tell us a little bit about the track. I mean, you're a race car driver yourself in the past, I'm sure you still get out there once in a while. What is it like going around DeSoto Speedway for somebody who's never been there?
Well, I'll tell you what, from the point of a race car driver or whatever, I mean, it's very exciting. It's 12-degree banked on the turns. It's 6 degrees down the straightaway. You got some long straightaways. It's 3/8 of a mile. It's a fast, fast racetrack. You can pass on the outside if your car is set up right. It's everybody loves the track. You know, it's really nice. It's fast. It's clean. It's, you know, we try to run a top-notch operation.
So now, go ahead, Jerry.
Now, since that ASA race where the track broke up, has the track been repaved since then?
No, it's the same track except for 3 and 4.
Okay.
I've done some repairs on the racetrack, and I use a lot of crack filler, and I crack the, you know, fill the cracks in and stuff, and to keep the water from not getting in there and loosen it up and stuff. Otherwise, it's pretty good. I'd love to do the 2 turns if I could, and that's all it really needs.
Right. Yeah. No thoughts of ever going to concrete in Florida, is there?
No way. No way.
Why is it, John?
Excuse me?
Why is that? Yeah.
The ground here is too, it's definitely too soft, and you probably need double, triple the amount of base, because if you didn't have it, you'd have things cracking and stuff like that. It seems to be that the asphalt is a little bit more pliable.
Yeah, I gotcha. That's interesting. I wonder about that, because I remember when they built...
That's only my opinion.
Yeah, when they built I-75, I don't know if you remember this, but they built the stretch of road there, about 20 miles of I-75 along in Bradenton, Sarasota. It lasted about 3 years, and they had to come tear it up and rebuild it again.
Yeah, that's because they can't get it stable, I would think.
Yeah, yeah. But
these engineers are.
So you got some cars out there that people are coming out to practice tonight?
Yeah, I'm pretty. I don't know all the names. Gershon's are here. I know the Copes are here. I really don't know. Campy's here. I really don't know too many of the drivers because I don't follow the series.
Right.
But like I was told, there'll be some coming in tonight and then tomorrow morning, and you know, by 12 o'clock, I think I should be full.
What time? Now, what's the schedule of events for tomorrow, for Friday?
We're going to try to qualify the AACS at 5:30, 5:45, then the ASA, and then our modifieds. We've got a 50-lap modified race tomorrow night. And we're going to do the last chance race on Saturday if we need to do it with the ASA.
Right. And then qualifying for the ASA.
And then we'll qualify for the ASA probably 6:30, something like that.
On Saturday.
And if everything is over in the night's events, we'll have a meet and greet. And all the late models and the super late model guys, I give free shrimp and beer too, and French fries and stuff like that. And I give
free shrimp and beer.
Yeah.
My ears perked up.
I give prize tickets per team, and you know, and let them go over there and enjoy some seafood.
What about the press?
What about the what?
What about the press? The media.
The press? Are you going to be here?
No, he's
well,
no. We
may come down for free shrimp and beer.
He's gonna keep.
Come on down.
He's gonna keep that big appetite up there in Kentucky where it belongs. But yeah,
I think the press pay double.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's John's deal, man. Press pays double.
All right.
So, yeah, this I'll tell you at the tracks where the cars can get up some speed. Like up there at Sonoya, I mean, it is absolutely exciting. These guys get all around the track. They get spread out after a while, you know. And
how big is Sonoya?
Sonoya's like four tenths, I believe. Three eighths, four tenths.
A little smaller than a half.
Yeah, just yeah. And
it's a little bigger than me and a little smaller than a half.
But it's banked all around the track, so it's a bowl. And man, they were flying, but
right.
Yeah, the cars come out and they look like they're not moving so fast, you know, when you watch them in qualifying or in, you know, and in practice. But when all of a sudden it seems like something changes when they all get out there, because I mean they went to Bristol, you know, in the newly paved Bristol track. I mean, they've had all the cars there. They've had the Cup cars there, the Busch cars, the Hooters Pro Cup, the trucks. The ASA has still been set the fastest times there.
I heard a lot of people didn't like the new concrete down over there. A lot of the people down there and stuff, and they didn't like the. Has it got progressive banking down there?
Yeah.
Yeah, they said they didn't like it. They couldn't pass or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it was There's been a, I've heard a little bit of that too.
Right.
Well, I know in the Cup and the Truck and the Bush, they all liked it because they could pass because there's two different grooves for sure.
Right.
I think Progressive Banking's way to go because there's a track out. Well, Tucson has Progressive Banking, and you got an outside groove and an inside groove.
Well, but, I don't know because you know years ago, I mean, we had one bank. That was it. That's what you raised on. You know, this Progressive stuff, I don't care for too much. But again, like I said, that's my opinion. But hey, what are you going to do? You can't please everybody, right?
Right.
Yeah. So. All right. Well. Did you have anything else, John, that you wanted to get out about that we didn't touch on about this coming weekend?
Do you hear the cars?
Yeah, I hear them.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, John, is there anything else you'd like to get out about this weekend that we didn't cover?
Yeah, everybody get out to DeSoto Super Speedway this weekend and come to a great race, a great week, racing weekend.
All right, and I'll tell you what, of course, next week on Inside Florida Racing on Monday night and also on Wednesday night here at the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, we'll be talking to the winners, losers, and everything in between with the ASA late models, man.
Right.
Should be fun, and we'll see you tomorrow, John.
Okay, man.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you.
Nice talking to you, John.
Same here. All right. See you, guys.
Okay.
See ya.
You are listening to the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane. We'll be right back.
Power Master is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brake Man. The Brake Man has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brake Man are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman on the web at thebrakeman.com. This is O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane.
Terry, I think you hooked up a pretty good guest for this week's show.
Well, yeah, he was talking a while ago about he's getting old and forgets things, but I think that comes with age. But yeah, Butch Miller is our guest tonight, folks. And I go back. Butch doesn't know me until I talked to him the other day, but I know Butch from way back, and I'm not going to say how many years at the old ASA. Welcome to the show, Butch.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. Butch, I was up at Orange County Speedway this weekend, and there was a little fascinating incident that I was hanging around. I was one of the taking pictures, and you guys were having a little talk with the ASA officials about carburetors, and I got to tell you, man, I really liked the way you handled that.
Well, okay. I don't know how I handled it, but you know, my opinion on officials, and this is going to be different than probably most, but I feel racing needs to be more like a dictatorship. And, you know, when an official makes a rule or when an organization makes a rule, my choices are play by their rules or go play someplace else. So, you know, and what they pointed out on my carburetor looked to me, I agreed with them. So, you know, it was time to change carburetor.
There you go.
Well, I wasn't there, and I don't know the issue, but In all the years I've known Butch, I've actually never known him to ever get disqualified because of a rule and infraction. I don't think you ever have you, Butch?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, you have?
But, you know, it's kind of, you know, I can't say, you know, in all my racing, I've always gone to the gray area. I've done the gray area to the max, you know, you know, I was down and ran a Triple Crown several years ago in Florida. And Mike Geddy was running it, and we were running it, and we won the race. And the next thing I know, old Charles Edward Howe he made his way into the tech area. And we were 19 pounds light on the right side of the car. And he talked the officials into throwing us out. Well, then when Mike Geddy went across to win the race, he was 11 pounds light on the right side, but that was okay because, you know, we were 8 more pounds heavy or light, you know. So you know, cheating, not on purpose.
But yeah. There are those gray areas always, huh?
Oh, you know, and it sure is a lot easier to win in the garage than it is on the racetrack. So, you know, if the rule is 34 and a half, then you better be 34 and a half. Don't run it at 34 inches, you know, or if you're talking in the spoiler area, you know.
Right, right.
And you know, that's the way I've always played. You know, it's just I cut it as close as I can.
Well, I followed Jack. I followed Butch throughout his whole career. He doesn't know it, but there's a lot of fans out there that follow drivers that they don't know.
Sure.
And Butch started out in the old – did you start out in the old ASA when Brian and Ryan Robbins and his dad was running it?
Yeah, Rex. Oh, of course, you know.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it was kind of – ASA had been going for a couple years, and I didn't even know what it was. But we were just starting to branch out a little bit. You know, we'd go hit a race over here or go hit a race over there. And I really didn't even know what ASA was. But there was an ASA race down at Fort Wayne, you know, and – so, well, okay, down we go, and, you know, sure enough, we won the race. Well, we got done, and he kind of, you know, if we had continued running, we could have got on some kind of a goofy program, you know, that would have, but I didn't even know what it was. So, you know, we didn't do it at the time. And, you know, I've run ASA a lot of years, and it's probably, you know, it's probably the most fun racing I've had, and, you know, I've enjoyed it the most, and I wish I could do it again.
There you go. So how do you compare it to, I mean, it's maybe a little tough comparison, but how do you compare the old ASA with what we got going here now?
I think it's what we've got going right now is very good. I think that yes, it's probably a step or two back from the tour car. But then the tour car actually got out of hand for a short track organization. You know, I think that we probably, you know, and I liked running. We didn't belong running at Atlanta and, you know, Charlotte. And it was just too expensive for the average short track racer that wanted to venture out and do something else, you know. And what they're doing right now, I think, is very good. I think that... they've got some ideas. I think some neat things are going to happen in the future. I talked to Ron Barney last week, you know, and he kind of gave me some stuff I don't want to talk about. You can talk to him about it, and he can give you, you know, if he wants to talk about it, that's great. But I don't know whether I should let the cat out of the bag without his permission. You know,
that's understandable.
Got some neat stuff coming in the future, you know, I want to be a part of it, whether I can be part of it as a driver or a crew chief. I just I like the organization. I want to be there.
Yeah, right? My question was that Ron Barney, in the interim, when he first got this series and started doing what he's doing, did he consult with anybody like you or some of the old-time ASA guys?
You know, I really don't know that. He did not consult with me. But, you know, I think that you know, at one point, they did bring a couple cars to Berlin, you know, the prototypes,
right,
of what the series is today. And Dave Sensabaugh and I had kind of a little match race, but they forgot to put enough gas in my car to to have the match race, but oh well, you know, you know, you got a 10-lap match race, you got a pit for fuel. I don't know whether that's supposed to happen or not, but you know, they brought that's about as far as you know, as it went. But at that time, it seemed like a very good idea, and you know, I'm sure that he has talked to Port City Racing, Ed Howe. Of course, you know, I'm sure he's coordinated a lot with like Five Star and ARP bodies. You know,
right, right. Well, that's one thing that Jack has noticed with this ASA, that when you go through the tech line, you better be right, and they don't tolerate anything from anybody. They don't care who you are.
No, you know, but that's not necessarily a true statement. They give you some slack, and you know, we are Saturday night racers. We don't need to have, you know, a template every inch going around the car like NASCAR does, or what's that? I forget what they call that thing, but they have a crane and they lower it down on the car and they
a spider.
And you know, we don't need that. You know, we don't need to have a shop full of people trying to keep the body exactly right. So they are, as long as it doesn't appear that what we're, you know, if a template doesn't fit perfectly and it doesn't appear that we're trying to do that on purpose to get an advantage, they'll let us go. You know, they say, okay, get it a little bit better for next week, will you?
You know, we were talking about one of the guys who got banned forever, and it was a body problem. And we were talking before the show,
and he said he'd won a lot of races too, right? I mean, he was one of the top guns in the first few years.
Yeah, and it was a body problem, and I guess they told him to come back and be right, and he never did, so he had to hit the road.
Yeah, I think in that case, the body infractions got pushed week after week after week. And, you know, from an outside, I don't know exactly, because I'm an outsider looking at what's going on, and I've got to believe that the call was right, because you just, at some point, when you've given up, you know, you've given them enough chances, you got to do something about it.
Oh, yeah. I want to get into a little bit of your past, Butch. Like I said, I followed you for forever, and you may know these people. I used to work with the Schulers, Larry Schuler, Lee Schuler, Tracy Schuler. I was on their crew for 7 years. And that's where I first met you. I've actually met you at Grundy County Speedway 1 year.
Okay.
And then you raced with...
Trickle?
I'm sorry?
Is that the year I raced Trickle so hard?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because
absolutely.
There was 1 year at Grundy County, and, you know, I've got to say, it wasn't my first feature win, but
right.
It was my first major feature win.
Right.
And I had Dick Trickle in my mirror for the whole 100 laps. And it's, you know, I was probably, that's one of my proudest wins.
Yeah, and you see Dick go by on a caution, and he have a cigarette in his mouth and light it up. And when he, you know, and I seen him and Tom Reffner race at Eliana at the Tony Bentenhausen race the same way 1 year, and Tom Reffner wouldn't let him by, but you raced against some really big stars, and progressing through your career in ASA, you even started racing with Rusty Wallace and Mark Martin and Alan Kulwicki and some of the huge stars in NASCAR. Then you moved up to I believe you moved up to the Truck Series right after that. And then to Bush, and then you ran for Travis Carter in the next Cup Series.
Well, actually, it kind of went different than that. But you know, if you look back, you know, you mentioned some really top-notch drivers, but you know, there was times when guys like Bobby Allison would show up and race, and
right,
you know. Dale Earnhardt, if anybody ever heard of him, you know, he would come to ASA Racing. And, you know, what was cool about that is those guys were stars on NASCAR, but they'd come ASA Racing, and we'd whip them. You know, I mean, not just my team, but Mike Eddy, Bob Seneker, you know, Gary St. Amant, we'd whip those guys. And, you know, that would give us a good feeling, you know. And then as my career went on, okay, you had my order out a little bit. But I raced with ASA with Leroy Troop,
uh-huh.
and we started doing a little bit. We did a couple bush races, and then we went NASCAR cup racing. And we actually, one time, we went and bought a car from Ricky Rudd's team, which was Kenny Bernstein, I think, owned it.
Right, right.
And we went out there, and we found this car, and it was a new design, but Ricky had blown a tire with it and just junked the car to where they just kind of threw it over in a pile. And
right.
We went to a shop to buy an already built cup car, and Kevin Hamlin was with me at the time. We looked over at that car, and we said, well, can we buy that one, too, the one in the junk pile? And he says, yeah, for $500 more, you can have it. And they were glad to get rid of it, you know.
Uh-huh.
So we just wanted to use it as kind of a gauge or a template or whatever you want to call it, so we would have something to look at, you know, if we decided to build a new car. Well, we put it in the corner of the shop, and we have to walk by it every day, and I kept looking at it, and I say, you know, there's a chance that thing could be repaired. And a couple days later, maybe we can repair that. And pretty soon I say, I think we can repair it, and pretty soon I had a torch going, you know, and we fixed that thing and made it back into a race car. It took it to Richmond and sat on the outside pole over there with the Billy Elliott on the pole. Unfortunately, missed the pole by just a little bit. It would have been my only ever cup pole, but it was that was back in the old Leroy Troop friendly Undertaker days.
Right,
But, okay, so anyhow, I went off to nowhere, but that was like in 89. In 90, I actually had three Winston Cup offers, and I chose Travis Carter, which was probably the worst one of the bunch, but, I if I've got a 50-50 chance, 90% of the time I'm wrong. So, you know, I went ahead with Travis Carter. I did that, and then I went bush racing for a while, and then pretty soon the truck races started. And by then, I'd gone back ASA racing, but my for Jim Herrick out of Vermilion, Ohio. And at that time, he says, well, we're going truck racing. So we started as a truck team, and that's how I ended up truck racing.
Weren't you one of the original ones?
We were. We ran the first race. And, we didn't run those exhibition races, but we did run the very first official NASCAR truck race. And we were leading it with, I would say, four laps to go, and I got a left rear flat tire. Oh, we could have been the first winner ever, you know.
Wow. Wow. That would have been some history.
Disappointing, you know.
Yeah.
I think, did you race in the ASA race? You've raced at DeSoto Speedway in Florida in the ASA races, huh? Was that?
Actually, I've raced in DeSoto, and we've won a few in DeSoto, but I don't know if I've ever raced an ASA race. What I did do is, while I was truck racing, ASA was on TNN at the time, and I did the broadcast from DeSoto.
Oh, okay.
So that's another part of my career, you know.
So I remember they
start. Doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, they started coming down there in the late stages of the series there, and I remember Jimmy Johnson when he was the year he was a rookie of the year. He was down there, and that was a wild race, man. It tore up some ASA cars that day.
Yeah, and I think the problem was that the track actually tore up.
Turn three.
It just, you know, if you got a half an inch out of the groove, you know, which was the groove was a two-track. You better have your left in one groove and the right tires in another groove. And if you got out of that, you just went wrecked.
That's exactly right. Turn three was coming up. That was before they fixed the track.
And turn one and two was not very well either.
Straightaways were still good, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And everybody handles really well down the straightaway.
Yeah.
So what you've done all this, you know, I mean, you've been around this sport a long, long time, and you've raced against all the big names, and now we have this whole new thing with these kids. And about 5 years ago, I mean, Terry and I and some other people down it, I mean, we've been doing this broadcasting thing, like, for short track racing for a long time. And it was probably about 5 or 6 years ago, we started calling it the youth movement because we saw this coming. I mean, 12-year-old, 13, 14-year-old kids. And how do you see that, man? The ASA is just full of these young kids with talent.
I don't know. I'm mostly, unfortunately, it's probably a bad thing to say, but I'm mostly jealous, you know, because when I started out, and now I'm gonna tell you my age a little bit, there was two things that were really different back then. And, you know, this is, people aren't going to believe this, but first off, you couldn't get into pits until you were 18. That was the first thing that happened. Unless you figured out how to lie or change your driver's license, you couldn't get in until you're 18. The second thing was there was no women in the pits back then.
That was the best thing about it.
Oh, come on. No, that was not a good thing.
That always leads to an argument.
But that's that's how things have changed over the years.
I don't know if you've heard the name B.J. McLeod.
Sure have.
Well, I was his PR guy when he was 13 years old,
right,
until 14. And I got him in an ASA race at Kinley, North Carolina, when he was 13 years old.
And 13 years, 8 months.
But,
yeah, he was 13.
That was the last couple of years of the Robbins family. And then he broke some records of being the youngest person to do some things. But now it's not even a second thought that you see a 13- or 14-year-old race car driver in some late models.
Yeah, I know it. And, I don't know. I'm still not positive that's good or bad or whatever, you know. But it's sometimes it's hard. And a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times those kids are not in there because they want to be in there. They're in there because the parents want to be in there.
Exactly.
But like I say, that's not always the case. You know, there's I think if you could have seen me at 12 and 11 and 13 years old, you know, I probably would have been, if my dad would have gave me a race car and put me in the race car, I would have worked on that thing 24 hours a day and done everything I could so I could race next week. You know, I wanted to race that badly. Yeah, you know, I think there's still kids like that, but they're not, the majority of them are not.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned earlier, Butch, that you would like to drive one of these new ASA cars. What's the chances of you getting in one of Sean Murphy's backup cars before the end of the year?
Well, actually, I've run a couple races, I don't know if I'm going to run any more this year. I don't think so. But I've run a few races, last one being Cayuga. And actually, Sean and I raced against each other, and we both put the same trick part in the car. So this trick part was so good that we fought for last place for the whole day. And I might add that I finally beat him out by one position. And that's my claim to glory for this year. But, you know, you mentioned Sean Murphy. And, he gets better every week. He's one of those naturals. In other words, I don't know how to describe him, but you give him the race car. He goes out on the racetrack, and when he comes back in, that's as fast as that car was going to go. That's it. I don't care who you put in it. There's nobody on earth that's going to make the car go any faster, and he just made it go, you know. He has a couple little things that we're working on, and one of them is that he's so good at what he does that when the car isn't right, he changes his driving to make the car work better, you know, which is okay during a race, but it's not okay in practice. In practice, we need to change the car to make it go faster instead of, you know, so that part is a little tough on us, that the fact that he's good at making a bad car go.
Right, right. That was one of your attributes, too, in my opinion. No matter what kind of piece you got, you're going to run up front no matter what.
Yeah, but I worked on making that piece good before I ever got in it. You know? And, you know, that's kind of a neat part, and the part I like with Sean is we go out there, and if the car isn't right, well, pretty soon he says, Butch, hop in it. and I'll get in it. And I said, oh, no wonder you can't drive this thing. You know, and we'll make a couple of adjustments, and he'll go back out there, and he'll yeah, I mean, he'll go faster than I was going in it.
Right. But do you think, Jack, just jump in if you...
Oh, no, go, I was just going to say, you know, Terry and I have interviewed Sean on this show a couple times, and we talked to him after the Bristol thing, as a matter of fact. But, you know, do you think he has done a lot of things? I mean, he's not that old for what all he's done. I mean, he's traveled around Europe and all that. Do you think all that other kind of racing kind of helped him?
I don't, you know, I can't say that. You know, I don't know. You know, I know he's done some a lot of road racing, and, you know, he's done some racing in Florida. But I think that probably, you know, what I've seen in the past two or three or four races that I've been watching him is he's a much improved racer over the beginning of the year. And, you know, all we have to do is he is so close to not just winning an ASA race, but to winning several.
Yeah. Well, I thought he was going to get one at Orange County. Just couldn't get that low groove to work.
He, you know, it was a matter of if we could have, you know, magically closed up the stagger a quarter of an inch, he would have got by and probably drove off because he was the fastest car. But because the car was just a little bit on the free side, kind of burned the back tires off trying to pass for the lead.
Yeah.
I talked to Sean, getting your phone number, and he told me that he tried every which way to get around him because of that one groove track. He had a problem with it.
Yeah.
So, and he said he was up beside him
a bunch.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then
he drove. You know, he got what that car had to offer. He got every ounce of it out of that car. He drove just a wonderful race, and you know, I was so proud of him at the end of that thing. He didn't wreck the leader. He could have wrecked the leader to win the race. He didn't do that. He tried to pass fair and square. And, you know, that's a Butch Miller way of racing as far as I'm concerned. You know,
oh, yeah.
If you can't pass fair and square, then you shouldn't win. You know,
hey.
And the guy gave him room, and John did the best he could. And he just ran a great race.
Now, Sean told me that that gentleman made the car as wide as possible.
He did pretty good. You
know, yeah, okay.
I think Sean would have probably, if Sean was in front and the other guy was trying to pass him, Sean would have been equally as wide.
Yeah, that's racing, right?
Yeah.
Butch,
you know, he gave him room. He just didn't give him the best room, you know. He didn't move over and let John by, which would have been nice.
Well, one thing we've been doing this year is we've been interviewing these a lot of these guys, especially when the first several shows. When we get a guy on we've never had before, we like really, you know, go deep into their background and stuff and try to find out everything they've done in racing and get their attitude and all that, you know. How important is, like, the desire, you know? Like, how important, I mean, is there a difference between having the talent to put a car around the track and the desire to win?
Yes, because you've got the talent to put a car around the racetrack doesn't mean that you're going to win, you know. And I'm probably the perfect example of that. As far as the seat of the pants racer, I probably was above average, you know, nowhere near like a Bob Seneca was, you know, or maybe even a Sean Murphy, you know. But Sean's got a desire to win. You know, he was disappointed he won, but he was also proud of how he ran the other night. You know, what's goofy about Sean is he is so even keeled. You can't believe it. You know, he had the Bristol race won till the last 200 yards. And when the car was over, when the race was over and he'd lost the race, you know, and I would have been throwing everything. I'd have been tipping the toolbox over. He was just smiling and just as, you know, normal, same old Sean.
Yeah, I was getting ready to ask you about how his reaction was, because I told Terry immediately told me we need to get him on the show, and I waited a couple of days before I called him. I was a little, you know, I didn't know how touchy that would be.
You could have interviewed him 5 minutes after it was over, and he gave you a great interview. The other thing is if one of us on SS Racing makes a mistake and we do something wrong, he doesn't bury us. He doesn't say we're a bunch of idiots, you know. Oh, we'll get it next time. And he means it.
His name's not Kevin Harvick, you mean?
That's right.
Now, Terry.
Or Denny Hamlin.
No. Speaking of that, Butch, I mean, I know we're not trying to hang out here, but we always ask, I really like to ask the guys. We asked Bug Stevens last night the same question on a different show we do. What's your take on the way NASCAR has gone?
Okay, in what way?
Well, it's obviously the NASCAR was, we talk to people all the time who you know, kind of have a complaint about they've gone away from the short tracks and it's all about business and money, and they kind of feel like
ruining the Saturday night racing.
These are the things we hear all the time, and it's not cool like it used to be. You know what I mean?
Just give you a heads up, Butch, on what Dickie Anderson.
There you go.
He said it's like wrestling.
Well, could be. I don't know if I'd go that far. You know, I do think I don't know what the answers are to fix NASCAR, but I do think they have a problem. You know, all their players, you know, I don't know what happened to Juan Pablo and Kevin Harvick, you know, but doggone it, they need to let a little bit of that go. You know, I thought it was pretty cool, and it made for a fun thing to watch yesterday, you know. I don't like it when they make everybody, you've got to say what you're supposed to say, act like you're supposed to say. If you don't do exactly say what they want you to say, you get fined $25,000. You know, I don't like that part of it. You know, I don't know how to fix racing. You know, I missed the Saturday night races. And, you know, I look back at the old NASCAR, and the neat part of that was that the fields were, instead of being 3/10 apart, they were 3 seconds apart. So a guy could virtually start at the back on a restart and pass everybody. Well, that was kind of entertaining. In fact, that was probably the most entertaining part of racing, was watching somebody come from the back to the front. Well, now the only way you get from the back to the front is by a pit stop.
That's the way dirt racing is, and dirt late models, for instance. I mean, we go up to East Bay Raceway during the Winter Nationals, a guy will be, you know, pick up 8 spots on one lap, you know, and the fans like that. It's exciting.
Back in the heyday of short track non-NASCAR races, you qualify, and if you were the fast time, you started at the back of 20 cars.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, that, now I was sitting in the grandstands back then, but that was fun to watch a guy go, you know, in 10 laps from the back to the front. That was really neat.
And then sometimes he didn't make it.
No, he didn't make it, but, you know, there was always battles going on, and now
yep.
It's just kind of, I don't know, it's...
You know,
it seems like all the races are the same.
You know, that's I will watch. They play on Speed, and I guess some of the other channels. They play old NASCAR races over again, like from a long time ago.
Back in the day,
and I guess in the 70s or 80s, whatnot. Those races, I'd rather watch those. I rarely watch a NASCAR race. I'll watch the last 20 laps of a NASCAR race now. But those races a long time ago are entertaining to watch.
And nowadays, Butch, I hate to say this, but they look scripted. And, you know, when Dickie Anderson is like wrestling, I can understand his point. And like the Pocono race where the rain came and Brian Newman was just about ready to pass Jeff Gordon, and then Brian Newman got up to his door, and then they throw the yellow flag. You know, that one was almost too obvious. And it's just a deal where that a lot of the 9%, they're down from the TV ratings from last year, and even more from the year before. So they peaked out, and then they made a mistake. That car tomorrow is the most horrible-looking thing. I mean, everything's fine, but if they would have put a spoiler on the back instead of a wing, I could have accepted it. But with a wing on the back like that, nah, I'll never accept the car tomorrow.
I'm going to get mad at me, but I'm going to disagree with you.
There you go. Okay. There you go.
I think that car... Have you ever looked at the when they show a picture of a NASCAR Cup car, the non-car tomorrow, if they show it from the roof, the car is shaped like a banana.
Uh-huh.
The roof is in the middle, the nose is way over to the right, and then you go around, and the tail is way over to the right. The car is just built crooked completely for downforce, and the things look stupid. Well, the car tomorrow is kind of symmetrical, so they look to me, they look more like a car you'd see on the street. Now, the spoiler. How many spoilers do you see that on the street that look like a spoiler that you see on the normal NASCAR cars? But the car tomorrow, they're on all the cars. If a car today has a spoiler on it, it looks like the car tomorrow.
Yeah, you're right.
Right.
That's true. That is true.
I never looked at it that way.
That's absolutely true.
And the one thing I do...
I think they're going the right way. I really do. I think the cars... I think they've had some pretty good races with those cars, too. I mean, compared to...
Well, I agree with you. It's just... You know, I like the bumpers matching up, the bumper matching up with the rear bumper and the front bumper. I love that fact. Because... You know how many cars have been ruined just because they went underneath to somebody else in these other cars?
Yeah.
And the bumpers matching up, even on the race on Sunday, they said that there were going to be less cautions because the bumpers match up. Well, they didn't end up having less cautions, but the thought was good.
For a road race, that was a really good race.
Yeah, it was. I mean...
However, and this is cool. Excuse me, going back to the short track, it's bleeding back to the short track. In NASCAR, it is okay to wreck the guy to pass him. And
exactly.
For the life of me, I don't understand that.
I'm glad you said that because, I've only been around this sport of stock car racing for about 15 years, really. And that is something I've never I bring that up all the time to the diehard NASCAR fans. It seems to me, how can you have a sport where you go through all this technical stuff to follow rules, and then you can just go out and punch somebody in the nose and win the fight? I don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't either. You know, when I look back at what happened to Robbie Gordon a couple weeks ago, where he got spun after the yellow had already been out, so he got spun. So when they said, well, he failed to maintain caution or cautious speed, they think they called it. You know, they said, okay, which he did. All right. So he was supposed to blend in there in 14th or 15th or wherever. All right. Now, what that's telling me that is if there is a yellow with 10 laps to go and there's a guy in front of you that is faster than you, spin him. On the yellow, when you get a chance to where you can catch him, spin him right then and there. He can't maintain cautious speed, so he have to blend in 14th or 15th, and you'll win the race. That's wrong.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. And
you knew what
was coming when Robbie stayed there in second place, didn't you?
Yeah, he's a little bit of a hothead, but you know he's at least he is not one of those. Cookie cutter drivers.
No.
Well,
Tony Stewart. He's not a cookie cutter driver. I don't always agree with what Tony does. I don't like the fact that Tony can dish it out but can't take it. But he's not a cookie cutter driver, and I do like that part of him.
Yeah, like Brian Newman, and I think a lot of the guys that came from USAC, you can say that. Jeff Gordon, Casey Kane, and it's a deal where. there's so much money in NASCAR now, Butch. I think that's some of NASCAR's decisions based on the dollar more times than not, and not on what the fan base wants. And but I think you're right. They peaked, and now they're going through a little down period. But I think they're going to peak again.
Well, there is some silliness.
It's going to be like the stock market or like real estate. It, you know, it flies up and then it, I forget the word they've got for it, but it kind of just averages back down again to where, you know, it normalizes or whatever, you know. And I think that's what they're going through. It peaked and it came down, but it's going to probably level off and then just have a normal rise from then on.
Let's switch gears here for a second. You know, we were talking to the who is the gentleman, Terry, with the head safety guy that we were talking to?
Ross.
Yeah.
Chapman.
Yeah. We were talking to him, and it was a funny thing came up about the north and south thing. Now, how is stock car, short track stock car racing different in the north and the south from your perspective, Butch?
You're asking me that?
Yeah, I am.
You know what? Anymore, it's like in the old days. You know, back when they had the ASA and they had All Pro, and then they had showed up in New England in Canada.
CASCAR.
Ricky Craven actually ran that series up. I forgot what they called it.
CASCAR or something.
Well, it's CASCAR now, but anyhow, when ASA would go down and race All Pro, you better be ready to read the rules really, really well, because those guys were, and I, you know, take Pensacola. One year I'm down at Pensacola, and it's probably the greatest cheat, and it came from an All Pro guy. I'm not going to say who, but he's in jail now. But
oh.
Okay. But I'm not going to say who, okay?
All right.
But anyhow, it's probably the greatest cheat I ever saw. They pushed it across the scales to go out and qualify. And they pushed it across the scales, and the car reads the perfect weight it's supposed to read. And they push it off the other side. And from underneath the car crawls a guy who'd been sitting up on top of the fuel cell.
Wow.
So he had human ballast in there. He went out and qualified 150 pounds light or whatever that guy weighed, you know?
Holy wow. Cow.
And nobody ever opened the trunk?
Well, no. He just went across and got weighed. And I'm not sure the trunks would open back then. You know, he was just stacked up on top of the fuel cell.
Maybe we just gave several thousand drivers an idea.
So was that a state?
That was like one of the greatest cheats I've ever seen. You know, you go down there also, you know, one time, a driver, he goes to get weighed to go out on the racetrack. I don't remember if it was for the race or qualifying, but they're pushing the car across the scales. Well, they've got to bring him up on a four-wheeler because he weighs so much he can't walk.
And holy moly.
Literally lift him into the car. He's got, I don't know, ballast strapped all over him. You know, and he gets in, gets weighed, gets back out, takes all the ballast off, and goes out and races.
Wow!
So you had to, you know, you had to deal with that when you went south the race.
Mm. Wow! Well,
and I've it's changed since then, you know.
I can't wait to run this show and let everybody call in.
Oh my!
That's fascinating.
Don't give him my phone number, okay?
I will not give him your phone number, but.
Well, see that now. That's an argument the other side of the coin. That we asked Don Nerone. I don't know if you probably know Don Nerone, but. Promoter.
Well, I like Don.
Yeah.
That's a good man. That's a good fair.
Absolutely.
He threw us out this year already.
Yeah, is that right?
You know, and we went down, we took Sean down to New Smyrna,
yeah.
Our first races. And Sean, right away, he sat on the pole the first night. Second night, he had, I believe, second quick time. And the third night, our last night that we were going to race there, he had fast time. Well, they said, we're going to take a gas sample. Okay, take a gas sample. And pretty soon, about a half hour later, guy comes over and he says, your gas isn't legal. I said, what? And I said, we're just running it to Sunoco. It's Sunoco with 10% ethanol.
So right.
It's a, you know, a very low octane fuel. You know, nothing spiced up to make it. But Don says, he says, well, the ethanol is what's ruining our, which, you know what, makes sense. It was ruining all his tests. He says, we have a series of five tests we do. And he says, you flunked all five tests. And he says, finally, the last test, he says, the hillbilly test. He took a styrofoam cup and he poured our gas in the styrofoam cup. It ran right out the bottom. So we flunked. But I like Don. He is a good man.
He's
an honest man, a fair man. And he might have been the guy that threw me out years ago at DeSoto.
Yeah,
19 pounds. Now, that's the one time he wasn't fair. We were 19 pounds, and Mike Eddy was 11. So that's the one time he might not have been quite fair, you know.
Yeah, we're always asking Don, you know, why can't you get these guys from up north to come down here and run with you guys like you did in the old days, you know. And he's always saying, they don't want to come down here and get their butt handed to them or something like that.
Well, Butch,
if you ever have a problem, that man will give you the shirt off his back.
That's a
good
fact.
Man.
That's a fact. There ain't no doubt about it.
We've kept you quite longer than we expected, Butch, but it's been a joy. And I know we held you up from dinner. And we'll let you go at the moment. But if we could have an open invitation to interview you again down the road, we sure would like to do that.
Oh, that'd be great.
All right.
All right, Butch.
Wish you the best of luck with Sean and the rest of your endeavors this year. And, man, thanks for spending
time. All we need is a little luck because Sean can drive a race car.
There you go.
Do you think, Sean, I got one last question. Do you think with the contacts that you have that you can possibly get Sean to the next level?
Well, I don't know if my contacts are good enough to do that. You know, it's there's certain steps you've got to go through, and really what's got to happen is he's got to get noticed here. And if he keeps doing what he's doing, he's going to get noticed.
Okay.
You know, there's been the last, couple years here, there's been some guys come out of ASA and go racing, you know, so it's going to happen.
He's doing
what we're doing, and he's going to get noticed.
Stephen Like is won a Busch Series race this year. He's probably the most known one.
Yeah, he's doing well. Kelly Byers is doing good.
All right, Butch.
Thank you.
And we sure appreciate it, and apologize to the missus for us.
Okay.
And we'll catch you down the road.
You eat so late. You know. It's your fault tonight.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Well, just buy her a T-bone steak.
Okay.
Thanks, Butch.
Okay.
We'll see you down the road, sir.
All right. Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, Butch Miller.
Butch Miller.
There you go, man.
When we were doing the production for this show, I told you we'd probably talk to him for a while. He was a talker.
This is O'Reilly ASA Fastlane.
And that will put a wrap on it for this week's edition of the O'Reilly ASA Fastlane. And it's going to be all happening this weekend at DeSoto Super Speedway and also up in La Crosse, Wisconsin, for the ASA North Division. But it should be an exciting weekend for the ASA Late Model Series. And we will catch you right here, Jack Smith, Terry Wall, next week. Next week on Wednesday, and it is now 9 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock. We have moved the show to the new time at 9 o'clock to accommodate the Real Racing USA Straight Lining with Stevie show coming on at 8 p.m. Till next week, go to a racetrack near you. Go to an ASA race. Hey, see you next week.
You've been listening to the O'Reilly ASA Fastlane. We'll see you next time. Same time, same channel. The O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane. Only on Real Race at USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA.